How do you capture a killer who's more ghost than human? Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to this edition of The Right Stuff. Queen here, Parker J. Thank you so much for joining me. I am so excited for this edition of the show. We're going to be talking to Mike Webb. He is the author of Just Hot, Fresh Off the Press. The book is called Ghosts. And if you like X-Files, if you like CSI, if you like, I want to say New York Undercover, but that's not it. If you like NYPD Blue, if you like Law and Order, this is the book for you. It's a paranormal supernatural thriller, but it also has that feel of a suspense story as well. There's so much going on in Ghosts. I can't wait to tell you all about it, and I will in just a few moments. As always, we want to thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support of Right Stuff. If you want to know more about them, simply go to their website, christianbookclub.net, to find out more. And they really do try to help you increase your readership, and there are different ways to do that. So if you want to find out more, simply go to their website. And ChristianBookClub.net. We also want to thank our partner Radio App for their support as well. Radio App is an app dedicated solely to uploading Christian books on their app, and they also have a special opportunity for authors of nonfiction. Radio has decided to partner with the Christian Convict Book Club, the CCBC, to provide incarcerated men and women in the USA with nonfiction Christian books. Author and founder of the CCBC, Adam Sharp, stated that reading books as he serves time has undoubtedly changed his life. There are numerous testimonies of prisoners who develop relationships with the Most High God after reading life-altering books. As a corporate contributor, Radio supports the vision and is inviting authors to do the same. So I want to invite you, if you have a nonfiction Christian book out there, dear author, go to radioapp.com/ccbc_author.html. That's a direct link to the page. So you can find out how you can support this ministry and help free our incarcerated men and women in the U.S. with your life-giving nonfiction Christian book. If you want to weigh in on our conversation, you know you can. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Spec Faith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at UntoldPodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at UntoldPodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very, very glad you are here with me today. We are going to be talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Michael Webb. He is the author of the fresh, hot-off-the-press book, Ghost, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Like I was saying before the break, if you like CSI, if you like Law and Order, if you like X-Files, this is the book for you. Fast-paced with lots of interesting scenarios going on that our main character, Kate Justice, has to go through. I definitely have enjoyed reading this book, and I cannot wait to delve more into it. And so without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Mike Webb. Mike, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome, and thanks so much for having me on your show. I've been looking forward to this.
You know, I am so thankful to Tim. He's the one who contacted me and said, hey, you need to have Mike on your show. And I said, okay. That's as simple as it was. Like, okay, I have Mike on your show. And when he did that, I was so glad because I read your book, and it's absolutely wonderful. I enjoyed it so much, and I'm almost finished with it now. I was reading it before we started the show, and I'm almost done with it, and I'm just so excited to tell people about it because it is definitely hitting all sorts of notes with me because I like supernatural stories. I like stuff that makes me think. I like learning new things as I read, and I definitely like our main character that we're visiting this world through, Kate Justice. Not to mention, I love her name, Kate Justice. That is just a perfect name that I love. And so I'm really excited to delve into this world and for our listeners out there. So for listeners listening in, you can always join in a conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. So, Mike, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I graduated law school at the University of Florida in a galaxy far, far away. Went into the business world where I've been for probably close to 40 years. Travel a lot, seeking adventure. My wife and I do a lot of traveling. I read eclectically. I love interesting places, out-of-the-way places. Writing is a hobby of mine at this point. I work in the business world, and hopefully I'll be retiring in the near future. This is my 7th supernatural thriller. And just as an interesting aside, Parker, you were mentioning Kate Justice. I have a quick short story that your listeners will probably find fascinating. I started writing this book in December of last year while I was going through radiation treatments for cancer. And I got the first 2 or 3 chapters done and put it down because I was finishing my 6th thriller, Devil's Cauldron, which is the 2nd book in the series of The War of Men and Angels. And I wanted to get that out and published by summer. So when I finished Devil's Cauldron in June, I picked up the writing on Ghost, the Justice Chronicles book 1. And as I started writing one day in prayer, Holy Spirit whispered to me, change her name. Change your character's name. And so I originally started out with her name as Kate Wingett. And I was going to do a lot of historical stuff with the name Wingett because there's a lot of history behind it. So I was obedient. I changed the name. And the more I wrote, it became apparent why the Lord said that, because I began to get a lot of prophetic words over the internet generically that I was reading that this was going to be the year of God's justice. So I thought, boy, there's something bigger going on here than me. And the more I wrote, the more the justice theme came out. And I'm hoping to continue that theme throughout the series.
Isn't it fascinating how the Lord does things, how he really brings certain things to mind that we don't currently understand right now. But then we're looking to go, oh, now I get it. And particularly I was resonating with what you said, because my twin sister around the same time was dealing with cancer. She almost died in 2019. And we were terrified and scared and everything else that went along with it. So I definitely resonate with you about the whole cancer situation. So I'm glad that you are on the mend, and I'm looking forward to more with Kate Justice. So my next question has to do with your journey to writing. You mentioned during your introduction that writing is a hobby for you. But tell us, how did you know when you first wanted to write? What does it look like for you?
Well, even through college, I had always wanted to write, and probably like a lot of people, I thought I was going to write the next great American bestseller. And then I graduated from college and got into the business world, and I was writing short stories, and I happened to be writing a lot of poetry in college, as you can imagine, as a young man, was trying to get in romantic entanglements, and I thought poetry was kind of cool at the time. But I didn't do much novel writing. I was writing a lot of short stories, and got in the business world. And then a number of years later, after I came into the kingdom and received Christ as my Savior, God really began to press upon my heart to take writing seriously for His glory. So I asked Him in my prayer time, should I write nonfiction or fiction? And I got a clear word that it was going to be fiction. So I started my first series of novels set in the Middle East in Israel, The Master's Quilt, which became a bestseller for Crossway Books. And then I wrote two more books in the series called The Giants and the Earth Trilogy. And that sort of laid the foundation for my writing career. I spent 7 years researching and writing, made multiple trips to Israel to research the book. And I love history. That was what my degree is in from college as an undergraduate. And I love traveling the world, going to exotic places. It really whet my appetite, and I began to write seriously. My fourth novel, I wrote and wrote, rewrote, and tried to get publishers interested, and there just wasn't a lot of interest, so I put it on the shelf. And a number of years later, a contest came up, and I just thought, you know what the heck, this has been sitting in my computer for all these years, I'm going to send it out. And interestingly, stuff I had written had prophetically come to pass. Stuff I was writing in the book, you know, they say art imitates life. Well, in this case, life was imitating my art. And a lot of the events that I had portrayed, thinking this was just coming out of my vivid imagination, had actually come to pass in the Middle East. So I sent it off. The public voted. I won the contest, and the book was published by Risen Books. Well, shortly after it was published, Risen Books went out of business, and that started me on my journey to self-publishing. So ever since The Oldest Enemy came out, I've self-published, and I've had a lot of fun, and I haven't ever looked back. So as I said, I'm on my seventh thriller. I'm working on number 8, the sequel to Ghost. I'm also researching the third book in the War of Men and Angels trilogy called Lightbringer. And I also have a nonfiction book out there called In the Cleft of the Rock, because a lot of my readers were writing and asking me if I would put out the theology behind my books. So I spent a whole summer writing out In the Cleft of the Rock, which I had been teaching for about 10 years in different Bible groups, and put that out there so people could have an understanding of where a lot of the fundamental scriptures came from that are worked in and woven into my stories.
What's fascinating is the fact that you like history, because history in and of itself tells the story of people. And I believe do the same thing over and over again. And it's like what Solomon said, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. And one thing I said, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to make the same mistakes. And sometimes we can know the history, we just keep making the same mistakes because we're just flawed people. So yeah, I totally really like the fact that you like history. I've been doing my own historical research as well. And it's just fascinating to look back into the annals of time and see things happen that have happened before happening again. It's just fascinating to me. I like the fact, too, that you mentioned about adding the nonfiction work of your theology in your books. And a number of authors I've talked to, when they have something very specific, like in your books, you have certain things in your books that are very specific to it, they like to have that more inside, in-depth information about your book. So it's not just fiction. It's actually fiction undergirded with these facts that readers really resonate with. And so I'm really glad you did that. And if you can just go ahead and say the name of that book again for our listeners out there, just so they know if they want to pick up a copy.
Sure. It's called In the Cleft of the Rock, and the subtitle is Insights into the Blood of Jesus, Resurrection Power, and Saving the Soul.
Amen. That just sounds good. So for listeners out there, make sure you go ahead and pick up that copy, as well as this copy of Ghost. Like I said, you're going to definitely enjoy this story. I know I have, and I love it. And I read pretty quickly. And your book is making it very easy. That's why I'm almost done with it. So it's a really fast-paced thriller. And so one thing I like to do on the show, Mike, is I want to invite the author to tell us about their writing process. And the reason why is because we know, and you probably know some people too, always say, oh, I want to write a book. And they may listen to a favorite author of their own, and that author is a massive plotter, like you do a lot of research for your stories. But what does your process look like? For me, I'm a pantser. And as a pantser, I tend to write on the flow. I don't really do a lot of plotting, even though I have to say that it's changing, which is quite scary. I've been pantsing for a very long time now. But go ahead, tell us a little about your writing process, just so our aspiring authors who may be listening may say, you know what, I want to do what Mike does.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking that, because I will say, first and foremost, one of my favorite quotes of all time as applicable to writing is when Winston Churchill said in October 1941, the last part of his speech is, this is the lesson, never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. So never give up. I think if you're going to be a writer, you have to have that emblazoned on your forehead. For me, I see all of my novels as movies. Invariably, I'll be driving in the car, shaving, doing something other than writing. Sometimes I'm praying, and all of a sudden, there'll be a stretch of dialogue or a vivid scene. And in Infernal Gates, for instance, I was driving on a business trip on a long banana stretch of road, and suddenly, I'd been reading some stuff by John Paul Jackson about a man in Africa who had been translated by the Spirit like Philip, and I got to thinking, what would it be like if my wife and I got onto an airplane going on a vacation trip, and the plane crashed 20 minutes after takeoff, and we awakened the next morning at home in Charlotte in our beds, with the clothes on that we were wearing on the plane for the vacation trip, and we were the only survivors. How would we, A, react, and B, how would we explain that? So out of that developed this whole trilogy of The War of Men and Angels. So I see all my writing as movies. And at some point in time, what happens with all of my stories, my characters come so alive, I am relegated to being a mere scribe. I am just taking down what they are saying and doing, and I am watching their journey unfold. And the way I write is I don't often know what the next chapter is going to bring. It just unfolds, and I think it's going to go one direction, and my characters say, no, no, we're not going that way. We're going over here. And so each new chapter is so exciting for me because I honestly don't know what's going to happen. In many cases, I know the beginning, and I have a pretty good idea of where I want to end up. But in between, it's up for grabs. And I've had a lot of my readers write in and say, you know, this thing looks, feels, and tastes like a movie to me. And, of course, I tell them that's because that is how I see it. I always see and hear my books as movies, and I do my research on the fly. So I'll get in the middle of a chapter, and my character will say or do something, and I'll think, oh my gosh, where did that come from? And I'll have to stop and go in on the internet and look things up. So that's pretty much what I do. I guess I'm a combination of writing by the seat of my pants, and I don't really have any organized way of writing. I just have an idea of my main character, like Kate Justice. I wanted a strong female FBI profiler. My father is a retired chief of police, and I've been around law enforcement for a number of years. And so I wanted a strong woman who was an FBI profiler, but one who is a bit unconventional. She has an eidetic memory. She is very different than anybody you typically find as an FBI profiler. So I wanted to make her a bit quirky and different, but interestingly so, because of some mysterious beginnings that begin to unfold in the first book and will be continued through the series.
And we are talking today to Mike Webb. He is the author of Ghost. It's fresh, hot off the press, available for you today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, but you're welcome to join in the conversation by calling in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Christian authors and writers, welcome to Readio. Readio app, developed exclusively for showcasing Christian fiction and nonfiction ebooks and audiobooks. Tired of book sales plummeting due to algorithm-influenced unrelated classifications? Books lost amongst non-Christian content? Readio allows you to reach your target audience, who's eager to devour your Most High God-inspired books in a variety of Christian subgenres. You write in a niche market. Readio solely caters to it. Follow at Readio App today on social media or visit readioapp.com to know when we are accepting author catalog uploads. Readio, the best app for the Most High-influenced ebooks and audiobooks.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for a new reader to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com. or order a print issue on magcloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very, very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host and contributor, Mike Webb. He is the author of the book Ghost. It's fresh, hot off the press, just released last week. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. Like I said earlier in the broadcast, if you like CSI, X-Files, Order, or a supernatural thriller, this is the book for you. Kate Justice is a wonderful character to just get behind and root for her, even while you want to strangle her. So go ahead and pick up your copy of Ghost today. Again, available on Amazon.com. And Mike, once again, thank you so much for joining me for the show. Really excited to showcase Ghost to our listeners out there. And as I was saying, Kate is someone I want to really strangle. And I want to strangle because what seems so very obvious to me isn't obvious to her. And she's not a stupid woman by any stretch of the imagination, but she acts stupid. And I say acts stupid in a very light way. And it's only because of what you discover about her in the beginning of the book. For those of us who are believers, if we had the same experience she had, we would have a totally different reaction to it. But Kate doesn't. And that's one of the frustrating things about Kate, that I just want to strangle her. How can you not see the grace of God in this event that happened to you? And so she is just a wonderful character, but you do want to strangle her, Mike. You definitely do. You do get frustrated with her. So before we get into that, tell us about your book and don't give us any major spoilers. I'm okay with small spoilers, but no major spoilers.
Yeah, well, thank you. You know, I'm a huge fan of J.R.R. Tolkien. I mean, he and C.S. Lewis are probably the two biggest Christian writers that molded my career starting way back when I was in junior high. And Tolkien wrote a letter to his son Christopher in 1945 and saying, "A story must be told or there'll be no story." Yet it's the untold stories that are the most moving. And Kate's story cried out to me when I started writing this. And to your point, much of what I put in my novels is based on real-life experiences or people I've encountered over the almost 40 years that I've been a believer. And you find a lot of times that people are wrestling with the fundamentals of existence and life. So in Ghost, I did something a little different than I've done in my other novels. I've never written a story about a serial killer. And to be truthful, I was really a little hesitant to do it, especially because I'm writing from a Christian worldview. And I definitely didn't want there to be any gore or, you know, gratuitous violence. And up till now, I've been writing primarily about the war, the spiritual war for the souls of men and women, the war between men and angels, the battle that goes on in the unseen realm that impacts us here. So this was a real different story for me, and I really had to pray a lot and ask the Holy Spirit to help me write a story that would captivate people, but would let me work through my characters' issues that I know people around me or people I've encountered over the years in the business world or in my evangelism that they have struggled with. And my wife often says that there are a lot of people who are very smart, but they have no common sense. And it's interesting because, you know, when you take those two words, common sense, and break it out, it's based on a common shared experience. Well, Kate is raised in a home by believing parents, but she's going to find out that nothing is what it appears to be. She's going to find out that she is not the person she thought she was, and she begins to have a series of experiences that rock her world. She's got a PhD in criminology. She's the most brilliant profiler the FBI has ever had. She's pretty much an introvert. She's very quirky. She uses an original copy of Bram Stoker's Dracula to help her solve cases. She thinks out of the box. And as a brilliant person, you would think that analytically she could figure some of this stuff out as things begin to happen to her. But I find that even with the most ordinary of us, when God begins to invade our lives, He always does it in a way to get our attention, but he's always wooing us, seducing us to him. And it's a godly seduction. It's a seduction out of the depths of sin that we're born into in a fallen world and to his righteousness. And he does it line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so what's happening with Kate through the course of this first book is she is struggling to figure out, who am I? Where did I come from? How did I get here? Who called this party? You know, why is this happening to me? And so many people I meet are asking those same kinds of questions, whether they are in Christ or not. And I wanted to interweave reality with the supernatural, because I feel like there's so many people out there who are trying to find answers. And I know for myself, before I came to Christ, I was in a situation, to quote a very old country western song and paraphrase it, I was looking for God in all the wrong places. And so when he found me, and I subsequently found him, it was an incredible moment of transformation for me. So Kate is just beginning that journey while trying to track down one of the most unusual serial killers in modern history. And there's a lot of actual facts and FBI data woven in, and as I say on the back cover blurb, it is a serial killer story unlike you've ever heard of or ever read. It's very different.
What I found fascinating was the use of Bram Stoker's Dracula, and the reason why is because I read Bram Stoker when I was in high school. I really enjoyed the story, and I used to be really deep into vampire lore and things of that nature. I forgot most of it now, but I used to be really deep into it. But Bram Stoker's Dracula really personifies evil, and I like it a lot because Dracula is evil. Like, let's just call him what he is. And that's why people have heard me talk about it on the show before. I hated Twilight. So in Twilight, we have vampires. And I hated it, Mike. I totally hated it. So I really thought that was an interesting plot device that you used in Ghost for Kate, and that would be her go-to to help her solve these crimes. Another interesting thing, and what I commend you on, is that you took that leap of faith and went ahead with a serial killer, because killers, and we all have to admit it, in some way they're quite fascinating, not in a good way, but you're just surprised at why would someone do these things. And within the context of Ghost, you actually start to outline what some serial killers do, how to differentiate between some serial killers. One of the serial killers that you mentioned in the book was the BTK killer, and I remember that story several years ago because he was a deacon in a church, and when the anniversary of his kills were coming out, he was upset, I think, and correct me where I'm wrong, Mike, but he was upset because no one knew he was, and he wanted the limelight on him. And so he actually confessed to those murders. And I remember his wife got like an emergency divorce, because that's horrific, you know, to discover that this deacon in the church is a serial killer. And I remember how he talked about he hoped that the people would forgive him. Because here he is, a serial killer who's a deacon in church, who knows about the Lord, and he did these awful crimes. That was fascinating to me. Again, I don't want to be the product or subject of his fascination. Don't misunderstand me, but it was fascinating. So the fact that you add the serial killer element in the story, I think it's necessary in Christian fiction. And this whole month, I've been showcasing authors who write darker fiction through a Christian worldview, like you're doing. And with Kate, she is immersed in darkness, and then darkness actually hits her on the face and captures her. This isn't a spoiler per se, because this happens in the very first chapter, and Mike, you're probably okay with me talking about it, but she experiences death and then comes back. And that is literally the tip of the iceberg, because like you said, she starts to discover things that she didn't know. And for me, if I had that happen to me, I'm falling on my knees thanking God that he decided to give me another opportunity. But for her, she's just, what do I want to say, Mike? I feel like she's resisting it because she doesn't want to accept it. And as you were talking about how some people you've met I think they resist for many different reasons, just resisting God's grace. But God is so patient with us that he draws us along this journey that compels us. Of course, we would hate for it to be a serial killer murder to do that. We would hate for that to be it, you know. And I think you did the violence in the story quite well. So it's gritty without being gratuitous, as you said, but it does tug at the heartstrings because the serial killer goes after the innocent, which are children. But even more chilling, as you begin to through the layers of this case, is why these children are being killed. And then when that particular killer goes off script, you're looking like, what in the world is going on? So you are with Kate as she's trying to discover what is happening. And then for her to have met this person or thing, person, place, or this woman, we don't know who it is, to her have met them, and then guess what? She was hurt, and then she comes back. Again, just the tip of the iceberg. And so there's a lot of fascinating things going on in this book of ghosts. So, Mike, I don't think I gave away too many big spoilers, especially in the beginning, because that's the beginning. You know, it's like chapter one, that's the beginning. So I don't feel too bad mentioning that. But when it comes to exploring NDEs, which is near-death experience, why do you think this was the element for us to start upon as we go on this journey with Kate?
Great question, because Kate is trying to process what happened to her through a rational, scientific mind. That's how she thinks. And one of the things I wanted to showcase in this novel is that so much of our world today has gotten away from a fundamental understanding of the supernatural and the reality of the supernatural. And to quote Tolkien again, this is so much of what drives me in my work. I wanted to say that another thing that Tolkien said that really sticks with me is that if you really come down to any large story that interests people, holds the attention for a considerable time, human stories are practically always about one thing, aren't they? Death, the inevitability of death. And what I wanted to add to that is that for those of us who write from a Christian worldview, I want to compel readers to plumb the depths of their own humanity in light of a merciful and omnipotent God, whether it's a literal resurrection from the dead or a metaphorical resurrection of faith or a resurrection from a dream that has died. Resurrection is the only antidote for death. So I wanted to probe that and have my character wrestle with the reality that she was clearly dead for an extended period of time. And as obvious it would be to us on the other side of the veil that this was a God thing, she is wrestling with that and plumbing the depths of her own spirituality, because she was raised in a home to know about God, to know about Jesus. But she begins to drift away when she's 12 years old. And so I wanted to explore, how does that happen? Why does it happen? And what does it take for someone to come back to faith? And Romans tells us simply that it's the goodness of God that will lead men and women to repentance. It's not our proselytizing. It's not how eloquent we are. It's not how much scripture we know. It's the goodness of God. And one of the most powerful scenes I ever remember from C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is at the end of the movie, and I've forgotten the two characters' names, but the young girl, Lucy, I think her name is, and her brother, Edward, they're standing on the balcony overlooking the beach, and Aslan is walking along the beach down below, and Lucy looks at Edward and says, "Is he safe?" And Edward looks back and says, "No, he's not safe, but he's good." We don't serve a safe God, but we do serve a good God. And so Kate is wrestling with that, because there's nothing in her life anymore that's safe. One by one, the underpinnings of her safe life are being stripped from her, and metaphorically what's happening is her view of the world, what is real, what is myth, what is something else, is coming to light. And it's in her face in a variety of ways on multiple levels, and she's completely thrown off kilter at every turn. And she's wrestling with all of this, trying to solve the most difficult case of her career. And so I wanted to explore that and lay a foundation for people out there who are saying, you know, I can relate to the concept. I may not be a profiler tracking a serial killer, but I can relate to the battle, to the wrestling with my own soul over who I am. Does God really number the hairs on my head, and does he know me personally? And if so, why are all these things happening to me?
I love that, Mike. And if you were in church, in my old church when I grew up, I would throw a fan at you, one of those funeral fans. I would throw a fan at you. because I'm just resonating with what you said, especially when you said we don't serve a safe God, we serve a good God. And that means a lot to me. As you were talking, I had to go to Romans 12, and I'm reading from the KJV version because I love KJV, not because I'm a KJV onlyer. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When he says a living sacrifice, that means that you have to sacrifice your flesh. That means you have to put it away. That means you have to fight against it. Because a safe God would let you do whatever you wanted to do, no consequences, no judgment, no convictions, anything like that. But he's a good God who has only your best interests at heart. You know, he gives us these rules to protect us. He gives us these boundaries to protect us. And sometimes when we make decisions that push us past those boundaries, guess what he does? He rescues us. And that's something that happens to Kate in the book Ghosts, written by my good friend Mike Web. You can get it online at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about Ghost because there's another character I have to introduce to you. And then Mike is going to read an excerpt for us, so make sure you stay tuned right here. You still have an opportunity to weigh in on the conversation. All you got to do is call in at 646-668-8485, then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag righteous. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
How do fantasy and sci-fi help make us into better people? And how can Christians best glorify our Lord Jesus Christ as we enjoy these stories? Also, where can you find the best fantastical Christian novels? Yes, they do exist, and we know exactly where to find them.
From the creators of Lorehaven magazine and from biblical Christian storytellers around the world comes a new podcast for readers of amazing stories. We call it Fantastical Truth.
I'm E. Stephen Burnett.
And I'm Zachary Russell. Our mission is to find biblical truth in fantastic stories. We apply the wonders of these imaginary worlds to the real world our Creator has called us to serve.
Toward that chief end, we will find the best novels by Christian authors, fantasy, science fiction, and beyond. Together, we will explore these stories in light of the gospel, and we'll join these authors and other creative friends on this joyful journey to find the happiness and holiness of Jesus by exploring his gift of truthful imagination.
Please subscribe at lorehaven.com or on podcast players everywhere.
Join us in this eternal quest to seek and find fantastical truth.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very glad you are here with me today. We are talking to my good friend Michael Webb. He is the author of the book Ghost. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. I'm having such a fantastic time talking to Michael because he is just dropping nuggets of gold and wisdom onto our ears today. And I can't believe that once you start to read Ghosts, you will not be profoundly impacted by this narrative, because it's a narrative about a FBI profiler, but it's also a narrative about me. It's a narrative about you and about everyone who hasn't had to deal with questions of a life they do not understand. How many of us have resisted the call and the lure of the hound of heaven, as one of the old authors used to say back in the day? Who hasn't been drawn to the Lord? Now, in our story, Kate is dealing with a psycho serial killer who may have supernatural abilities, and there may be more to the story than that. And so Michael is just telling us all about it on this episode of Right Stuff. And Michael, once again, thank you for being with me on the show. Really am enjoying the conversation. Before we get into the excerpt that you're going to read, I definitely want to introduce our Kate's compadre, Chris. And Chris is interesting because the first thing I thought of was all the Chrises in Hollywood. There's a lot of Hollywood Chris out there. But in this case, this Chris reminds of one of the Chris that is very popular right now. And which Chris is that?
Yeah, it's Chris Pratt. And so as I was sitting around thinking about who I wanted my additional protagonist to be, just kind of came to mind, and I'd seen him in a couple of recent movies. I'm a big movie buff, and I thought, you know what, he'd be a great fit for Kate. So I sometimes just randomly pick this stuff. Individuals that I can relate to, that I know from the public life, and it helps me focus on their descriptions and their personality types. And so I thought, yeah, Chris Pratt would be a good fit.
And right now, Chris is under some scrutiny in Hollywood, but when isn't an actor under scrutiny? But I like him as an actor, but I love the character of Chris in Ghost, because he comes up with her as a very interesting backstory that is actually grounded in both fact and fiction. And so if you don't mind telling us some of his background without giving away too many spoilers, Mike, I think our listeners will appreciate it.
Yeah, so I gave the character that is described as somewhat like Chris Pratt, and I'll share that when I read the excerpt. I named him Chris as well, Chris Schindler, and he's the descendant of a very real-life famous detective in the early 1900s in America, who at one time was referred to as the American Sherlock Holmes. And there's an interesting backstory that I develop in the novel about that relationship with his grandfather that I think readers will find fascinating. So it's an opportunity for me to explore historical elements in the context of today, and I love doing that. I love weaving in real-life characters and historical situations and actual geographical places with my fiction. I think it gives it an element that is a layering that's very different from just creating a solely fictional world.
And Ghost is very much a layered book. The more you keep turning, you keep developing more layers. And I think that's an essential when it comes to the supernatural in general, that you have to understand it's not just the natural we are interacting with, but we're also interacting with the supernatural. And I think that's important. And once you really understand that, you begin to see that there's a bigger picture out there than just what your eyes tell you. And this is something Kate struggles with, because she only wants to rely on what she can see, what she can hear, what she can deduct from the information around her. When that information is not in the natural, but in the supernatural, that is what throws her. And I think that's what throws a lot of other people. If I can go ahead, and I'm going to mute myself, Mike, so I'll have you read an excerpt from Ghost. Go ahead, and I'm going to mute myself and take it from there. You can set it up as well.
Thank you. Yeah, so the setup is this happens early on in the novel, and Kate has experienced a traumatic event, and she's had to reach out to the local police department in Fort Collins, Colorado for help. And that's the setup. Kate thought the detective who came to her parents' home an hour after the two uniformed police officers departed could pass for Chris Pratt's twin brother. She developed a secret crush on the handsome movie star during her last year completing her master's degree when she saw him in Moneyball. She'd rented his earlier movies and binge-watched them one weekend to relieve the stress of finish writing her dissertation. She'd also consumed a gallon of Andy's vanilla frozen custard mixed with crushed Oreo cookies while on her weekend sabbatical from school. Once she graduated a few months later, her life became a whirlwind and she forgot all about the attractive actor. Until tonight. Ms. Justice? The handsome detective's voice snapped her into the present. For a moment, she felt guilty at having such thoughts, then remembered everyone who suffers a traumatic experience deals with the resulting pain differently. Yes, detective? The man who looked to be about her age or a few years older said, I ask you if you had any reason to believe something bad happened to your parents, other than the burned lasagna and two small puddles of blood you found in the great room and kitchen. Kate sighed, fighting rising anger. As I explained earlier to the two uniforms who responded to my 9/11 call, my parents are creatures of habit. When I left the kitchen to take a bath before dinner, my father was working in his study. My mother was finishing dinner for the three of us. Before I went upstairs, she offered to bring me a glass of Merlot while I soaked in the tub. That never happened. Do you always drink wine while you're taking a bath? What does that have to do with anything? She snapped, immediately regretting her harsh tone. Had she been the one doing the questioning under similar circumstances, she would have likely asked the same question. To his credit, the detective didn't react. He did what she would have done. He asked a different question. Your parents have any enemies you know of? Anyone who might want to harm them? Kate shook her head, not trusting herself to speak. She couldn't believe this was happening. She'd just managed her PTSD, and a semblance of normality was seeping back into her life before she went to the cabin to consider her options. It had taken a year of painful physical and psychological therapy for her to recover from the incredible events that irrevocably changed her life last Easter. Now, the sudden mysterious disappearance of her parents was calling all the gruesome memories she worked so hard to sequester to break free from the carefully constructed prison she'd built in her mind. They threatened to overwhelm her when she needed clarity and an iron control over her emotions. She couldn't let that happen. Not if she wanted to find out what happened tonight. Not if she wanted to keep her sanity from sliding down the slippery slope into the abyss of madness.
And that is an excerpt from Ghosts, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And I know our listeners reading and rather listening to that are probably titillated by it, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. One of the things I have to make mention of, Mike, is that as Kate begins to delve into the disappearance of her parents, she begins to find out things that she had no idea went on. And I was laughing a little bit because I used to ask my mom and dad, are we really this poor? I would say, don't you have money stashed somewhere, like a chest of drawers somewhere? You just want to make sure that we understand the ethic of hard work. And my mom and dad said, when you find that chest of drawers, let us know about it. So that's what I was thinking of with some of the things she discussed about her mom and dad. That just totally uproots her whole sense of self and her whole sense of identity. So that's just the tip of the iceberg. And as I say, each chapter constantly builds another layer, and as those layers that she was, her foundation was on, begin to crumble, now she has to figure out what I'm going to do with this information. So much is going on in Ghost. Now, I know you just have this fresh, hot off the press, Mike, so you may not have too many responses, but what has the reader's response been so far?
Well, you're right. I have some beta readers that have said they feel this is my best work yet. I'm thrilled that they think that. I hope I get better with each story I pen. I've had a couple of early reviews from people that I don't know that are really enjoying it. So I feel like I'm on the right track, even though it's a very different novel. Probably in some ways to some people might be a bit edgier than anything I've written. I honestly don't believe there's anything in here that would offend anybody. I've been very careful, again, to only explain what's necessary to move the story forward. I'm excited about it. If anybody out there is listening and picks up a copy, I certainly would greatly appreciate a review, good, bad, or ugly. The only thing I ask, and I have all the information on my website and my Amazon author page, if for some reason you really don't think it's a good novel, you know, contact me. I'm very open with my readers. I want to hear from them, and I'm always looking for ways to become a better writer.
There is an aspect in here that I knew I wanted to ask you about, but when you said that, it just jogged my memory. There is paranormal things in here, and you really play around with this idea about the paranormal, and in particular with the skinwalkers. Now, I'm not going to tell you what context you use this particular legend, I should say, in, but it just brings back to mind how we really need to be aware that there are things that go bump in the night that have no natural explanation for it. And so it leads me to this question about why you titled this particular book Ghost. Does it have to do with paranormal? Does it have to do with the supernatural? Is it for some other reason? Was that what the Lord told you to title this book? Tell us about the history behind the title, if you have one.
Yeah, that's a great question. I originally had titled the novel Ghost Hunter because I wanted to play, you know, there's been a profusion of television shows, reality shows, with different titles called Ghost Hunter. And my wife is a real fan of some of them because she wants to learn, you know, how the world sees ghosts. And she's become very knowledgeable on integrating an understanding of what's presented on some of these reality shows versus what the Word of God says. And so she's really helped educate me a lot. But as we talked about it, I just felt strongly that I wanted to have a single word in the title. And at the end of Ghost, the Justice Chronicles, I've put a copy of chapter one of the second book in the series entitled Jackal. And the Lord's been showing me that each of the subsequent books is going to have a single word title, and it's all going to revolve around some different aspect of the supernatural and how it influences our everyday lives. The word ghost itself, as you read the novel, you'll see again it's layered. It has multiple meanings within the context of the novel, and it's definitely not a Casper the Ghost kind of mindset. Kate is going to encounter, as you already know, a number of supernatural experiences herself, and Chris has supernatural experiences, and other characters experience them, and they see them from different perspectives. So I really, at the heart of this, I really want to communicate to people that what we call the real world is not as real as we think it is, and that there's an entirely different dimension that overlaps our world that's even more real than the physical universe. And in many ways, it impacts us dramatically and has far more power than most people, even Christians, really acknowledge or understand.
It's fascinating that you say that, because I have been extraordinarily blessed in the last several weeks in my personal life, and the Lord has allowed a number of small blessings to happen to me. And what I mean by small, I'm not talking about tiny things, but there are small things that have just let me know that He knows my name. And of course, I know that on a logical level, but to be reminded that the God of the universe, the one who created everything out of nothing, knows my name is quite humbling as well as quite terrifying. And in a sense, if I can use that term. And of course, when you said about the world not being quite what we think it is, I have to go to Ephesians. It's a very popular, very well-known verse, but I think we don't really understand the impact of it. Because in Ephesians 6, he says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, Flesh and blood is visible. You can smell it. If you're weird, you can taste it. But he said against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. And that just underpins what you just said, Michael, about the world not being what we think it is, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And Kate goes on her journey in this book, but there's so much more to it. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, so make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy of Ghost today. Now, if we want to connect with you, Michael, where can we connect with you online?
My website, www.michaeljackweb.com. I'm on Amazon. I have an Amazon Author Central page. I'm on BookBub. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. And I'm on Goodreads. And I'm on All Author. And I'm in Readzy Discovery. So just about as many outlets as I can get to accept me, I'm out there. And if you want to just Google my name, Michael Jack Webb, a variety of places come up.
Michael, in the few moments we have left, I want you to encourage the aspiring author out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up a pen and do so.
Yeah, great. I love that we're ending with this. So I would just say I've been at this now for December will be 37 years, and I've had a lot of valleys and a few mountaintops, more valleys than mountaintops. But what always brought me back around was the fact that I write to glorify God. And in my prayer time, I've always said, at any point in time, if I'm not glorifying you, I'll lay the whole thing down. I don't want to do this. I'm not interested in writing for writing's sake. I'm very passionate about accurately representing God and his angels and the world of the spirit realm to readers. And I want to engage them. I want to entice them to enter into a relationship with the creator of heaven and earth. So I would say if you feel God has called you to write and he's given you that gift, then back to what I started the show off with, Winston Churchill, never, 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 never give up. I've laid this thing down several times, and the Holy Spirit has bugged me and had me pick it up again. It's been a challenging walk at a lot of different levels, but I finally come to the place where I can honestly say that I'm writing for the sheer enjoyment of pleasing my Heavenly Father, and that has freed me up in so many ways. So I encourage you, if you have a story to tell, or if you're writing nonfiction, put it down and get it out there. It's easier to do than ever before.
Michael, once again, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. I really enjoyed reading Ghosts, and I cannot wait to have you back and have you back real soon.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed it. I hope our listeners have had as much fun as I have. You've been a wonderful host. Thank you so much. And I want to give a shout out to Tim, who you mentioned at the beginning. I've never actually met him, but he's become one of my biggest fans just reading my material. And I'm so grateful. Thank you, Tim, if you're listening.
And we were talking today to Michael J. Webb. He is the author of Ghost. It's available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead and pick up your copy today. And make sure you pick up his other books as well. He is very good at what he does. I can attest for it for myself. I want to encourage you also to listen to what Michael said when he quoted Winston Churchill, "Never give in. Never give in, never give in." That means don't give in to despair, don't give in to self, don't give in to those things that are going to make you stop writing the book, the story, the message that God has for you. Go ahead, pick up the pen, and write stuff. Thank you so much for joining for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the Queen of Tuesday Nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day. Thank you.